All right. Good morning, everyone. God's people. Welcome, welcome. If you guys are new, welcome. Welcome to Haven Church. If you're online watching us, you know, just glad you can join us this morning. No matter what it is, you know, we're all together. All God's people. So let's stand up this morning. My soul will be found. my soul. Keep my days.
Keep my days for your glory.
Secure my heart.
Secure my heart for your way.
I just want everybody just kind of like stop and focus. You can keep going. Go ahead, Justin. I just want everybody just kind of just really think about what we're singing here. A lot of times, I don't know if you're like me, a lot of times you just go through weeks and everything's just weighty and kind of crazy. Anybody with me there?
Yeah.
And so you just kind of forget. You come to church and or we come to online church and we just kind of connect a little bit rather than just recognizing that we're coming to meet in the presence of God and His people. And that should be a little glimpse of heaven, right? And in a couple weeks, we're going to celebrate Easter, which has become commercialized like every other holiday that we have. But we forget that every Sunday we come together is a little resurrection day to remind us that this isn't it, right? And so when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And so I think, I want you to just sing this song like that and listen to the words and just feel your life in the midst of that. All right, we good? Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I am here with you. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. Oh, all my fears and doubts, they can all come too, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way,
oh, the truth,
the truth, and the light, the light.
Oh, and I
believe you are the way,
and the truth,
the truth,
and the light,
the light.
And
I believe you are.
All right, we're going to sing the New Horizon again, right, Wayne? I want you to lead us in that again.
Call it out, man. I'm not alone. You got to sing with me.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way,
and the truth,
the truth,
and the light,
the light.
One more time,
and
I believe you are.
I believe you are the way,
and the truth,
the truth,
and you are the light,
the light.
And
I believe you are the way, the truth, the light. I believe you are.
together now. Here we go. The way, the truth. Let's hear it.
The life, I believe you are. The way, the truth, the life, I believe you are.
Thank you, Jesus, for being the way, the truth, and the life, that all our fears and doubts and struggles, yeah, we don't leave them. We can bring them along, but they're not going to stay long when you're around, God. And so in your presence today, we just worship you. And now, God, as we move to continue in our worship time through your tithe and our offerings, God, we give you praise all the more. And we just ask that you just bless the tither and the giver, for we love you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
You take what is, and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead, dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. No guilt comes. Dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Rejoice, O child of God. Strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to
Amen. All right, everyone. We're going to have our kids go now to our Haven kids. And everybody else, just say hello to somebody around you.
We just need to. I already did it, but it doesn't matter. I already did it, Jill.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well. Welcome to, am I on? There we go. Welcome to everyone who's here and for those who are part of church online today. If you're a visitor today, we hope that you get a card and can fill that out, and we'd love to stay in touch with you. A couple announcements that I want to go through that we have here. The Paris Foundation will be serving on Easter Sunday, right? The 21st. Is that right? Thank you, Donna. So, and are there still some opportunities? Okay, so if you'd like to connect with that, please feel free to do so on Easter Sunday. April 12th, we are having a worship night here. So that will be Friday, April 12th, which is this Friday, right? This Friday. And it is 7 to 9 right here. Come as you are, and we'll have an evening of worship with the Haven Worship Team. So plan on being here and joining us. You also have an insert about the lilies in honor or memory of someone. We will collect, they need to be collected or in by next week. So please make sure you go ahead and take care of that. There's also an insert on the Easter egg hunt, which is the Saturday the 20th, rain or shine, April 20th. So make sure you come and get them and have fun with the kids. You can see that at 10 a.m. if you need any other information. Special thank you to everyone who did the bread boxes and or the love loaves, whatever you want to call them, for Miriam's table. Almost $2,400 was raised for Miriam's table. And that, so I know they greatly, the Kiefers greatly appreciate it, and thank you for your continued support. Youth group today will be going to Singerly Manor right after church to fill Easter eggs and sing hymns for them, so we're excited about that. If you'd like to connect with our host team, you got a good smiling face, as I see many of them, you can go ahead and connect with there. Dave Hollis asked that I lift this up today, that they are going to be doing a Christmas in April project on April the 27th, starting at 8 a.m., and if you would like to help with that, the information is down there. And sometimes if you say, I'm not too skilled with hammers and nails or whatever, doesn't matter, if every job needs a gopher, right? So if you want to connect, it's a great way to do so. And always, as always, remember those who are in need of prayer as well. So that brings us to this point. We want to lift up from the Steckers, Carol Powers Case, a friend whose husband died 6 months ago, heart issues and going for testing for procedure at the end of April. Debbie asked for prayers for Sophia Hollis. That is one of the twins of Dave and Terry. She has had a hole in her heart, had surgery this week, and so she's doing well. And then, you know, babies, trying to figure out whether babies have issues with certain medications and stuff. But I know Chris right now is so upset she gets to sit there with the other one, right? You know, so Bethany, so she's there. And Debbie's been there as well. And I know many others in here have also been popping in and have babies that haven't had babies in their house in a while. So, but continue to pray for Dave and Terry. As we said the other day, doesn't matter whether your child has... that surgery has been done a billion times. It's your kid. Everybody knows it's different, right? So we want to continue to lift Dave and Terry with the young lives that they have and these awesome little girls as well. Also, Noah Boyd had surgery, right? Noah is on eight. Was it ACL? Yep. So how's he doing? Good. All right. So better days, right? Okay. So we want to continue to lift Noah in your prayers. Lisa Osborne asked for prayers for Evangeline Hewitt, a one-year-old that will have open-heart surgery tomorrow. And they're members of Conowingo Baptist Church. So we want to continue
to lift them in your prayers as well. Okay? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We recognize that there are many needs and many joys, many concerns that we have upon our hearts. And God, sometimes you can just kind of feel the weightiness of the world that is on us, even when we come into this place where you say, take my yoke upon you, because my burden is easy and light. And so, God, we just ask that you just meet the needs here. Be with those, it seems like a couple of young babies are having heart surgery. And, God, we know that you formed them, and they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so and as the scripture says, I know that full well. So I pray that, God, that you continue to create in their lives. For others who are dealing with loss and for sickness and tragedy and all kinds of other things. Father, we just come to you as we grow closer to this time that we celebrate as Easter. And next week we're looking at Palm/Passion Sunday. God, help us not to forget the suffering that you've gone through, like somebody's going through right now. Hallelujah. So, but God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit just be with us all here, that you speak to us and minister to us the way that you see fit, the way that you've called us, the way that you direct us. And God, we just pray that we will be your church, redeemed and set apart by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Today's gospel reading comes from John chapter 19, verses 28 and 29, the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips.
Love it, you know it. All right, so, all right, everybody, how you doing? Okay, good. Nice weather finally, right? Awesome, good weather. Yeah, so Jesus is coming out of the tomb, and so are we after a long winter's nap. All right, welcome again. We are here today, going through some of the major things of Jesus. We're talking about Jesus on the cross, and there's the seven last words on the cross, but we're kind of looking at those, and Jesus said these last things, so they got to be important. And we spent some time going through some of them. We're working on the last couple now. I'll do one this week, I'll do one next week, and then on Good Friday I'll do another one. So we're getting there. We're a little over half the way through, and we're heading on there. We're talking about Jesus on Good Friday. Now we call it Good Friday, but it wasn't really good for Jesus. It was good for us. But probably the baddest or the worst day that Jesus ever had when he was on earth. And yet when he was going through all of this, Jesus went ahead and he teaches us how to work through a bad day. And so you may say, well, Jack, I don't have a bad day right now. That that I may not have one right now. Well, praise the Lord for that, because that must mean that you either came out of one or you're getting ready to head into one if you're like me, because bad days tend to come around cyclically. Say that five times real fast. How many of you have had a bad day in the last month? Anyone? How many had one in the last week? How many in the last 5 seconds? Anyone, right? So you might be like that you have. And you know, when we look through this, there are several ways in which we like to talk about having bad days. And so our theme verse for this, as we said, we're looking at Jesus and we're trying to say, okay, Jesus, you tell us. Teach us the example. And let's look at this. It's from Hebrews chapter 12, our theme verse. And it says this: keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished the race that we're in. Now, here's the cool thing is, because he began it and finished it, that means that we can too, okay, through him. So he began it and finished it, and it says this. What does it say there? Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that exhilarating finish with God, and he could do what? Put up with anything. How many feel like you're putting up with a lot in life? Whether from a coworker, whether from a, how many are you next to the person that you got to put up with a lot from? Okay, but you may be. Who knows? We're gonna go ahead and take a look at some of this. He could put up with anything: the cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor, right alongside God, or at the right hand of God. So here we are today in this section. We are nearing the end of Jesus' life on earth. Okay, and so here we are. And today, his famous last word is, as Wes read to us, I'm thirsty. I am thirsty. And it's one of those interesting ones. Like, some of the other ones are really like last week, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why? And you don't expect us to really spend a lot of time on, hey, I'm thirsty, right? But it's really, really important how we are looking at this verse. When we look here, in John chapter 19, here is the verse that we're going to use today. It says, and Wes read to it, later, knowing that all now was complete. So again, he is nearing the end of all this. In the final moments before his death, he says, I am thirsty. And even if Jesus shows us in his moment of need, here he is in the moment of his last need. Yes, he's been on the cross for several hours. He's there. He's bleeding. He's dying. And he still reaches out in need. And what it shows us is something really important that I think we all especially need to learn. No matter how spiritual we are, or how spiritual or churchy we think we are, that we are never, ever too strong to not need help from somebody else. And if Jesus called that, then we need that as well. And so our lesson number four today is this. It's in your worship guide. Is this: be human enough to acknowledge your need. Now, I said real first because that's what I wrote first. But then I realized, what am I talking about being real? I'm really talking about being human. Because many of us feel like we've just got to have it all together. That we have a problem that we are too churchy at times, or we're too strong-willed, or too dumb at times to realize that we're in need, that we need some help, and we're weak. And so, why? I want to show you a little bit why here. If you go to, we're going to go to the creation story. Now, I don't have this in your bulletin, but I will have it up on the screen. The creation story, which is such a cool account. Here you have Adam and Eve. Okay, and God had this really cool thing that every day God would just plop into the garden and hang out with Adam and Eve, just hanging out with God, just like, how you doing, God? Hey, I'm cool, Adam, how are you? Oh, I'm good. What are you doing today, Adam? Nothing, I don't have to work, I don't have to do anything, it's awesome. What are you doing, Eve? Nothing, just hanging around here with Adam, it's awesome. Okay, just don't eat from that. All right, got you, God, high five, see you later, God. Just really cool, right? It's really cool hanging with God. As we know the rest of the story, that God would do that, but one day when God, you know, wasn't there, they messed up. Anybody messed up in your life? And so they messed up pretty bad. And then God comes along just as he does every other day, and he says this: you, where are you? Looking for you. Now, God knew where they were, right? But and And I think when we look at Adam's answer to God about why were you hiding there? What were you doing? That we see why it's so difficult for us to admit our weakness. And here's what he says here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. Again, it's not your worship guide, but if you want to make a note of it, you can. And he says this. He says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So, you love kids. You all wanted to do it, didn't you? Let's get it out of our system. Everybody say naked. There you go. Awesome. All right. I got it, man. I'm going to let him come up and preach today. I got better reaction than anything I've done last month. All right. All right. So what we learned is mistakes happen, don't they? Mistakes happen. We all make mistakes. And often when we do that, we feel exposed. Or how do we feel? There you go. Good job. You guys, you're going to be like, what did you do in church today? I said naked. All right. So we feel exposed. Why? Because we're afraid. Isn't that what Adam said? I was afraid because I was exposed. And so when we feel exposed in life and vulnerable in life, we tend to hide from whatever it is, and we put a mask on. Like, we do it all the time. We're so good at it that we're bad at it. And why do we do that? I think we do it out of fear. The same reason why Adam hid from God, the creator who he was hanging around with all the time, he hid from him. Why? Because he was afraid. Now, how many of you are afraid of things? There's some things that I'm afraid of in life, and looking at some of these things, like there's some things as when I was a kid that I'm still afraid of. Like, don't bring a snake around me. Well, you're weird. All right, so it's biblical to hate them where it says, and he will crush your head, right? To the serpent, hallelujah. That's biblical. I want to obey the Bible. But I don't like snakes, never have, never will. Don't care. Like somebody will say, oh, it's just a little garter snake. I don't care. It's a snake. It needs to be dead, right? That's my theory. And if you want to see a preacher mess himself, bring one up here right now, all right? So it just happened. How many of you are afraid of spiders? So if I brought a big spider, you know what I hear? There are spiders in the continent of Africa that are the size of small poodles. Anybody want to go to Africa? Okay, no, okay. All right. And I hear that around the world they're doubling in size. One day you're going to pull that up. It's going to be like, ah, you're going to have your poodle in its mouth, right? You're going to have that one. There's some other ones that we have here. Let me see what I have here. I'm going to give you some weird ones. You want to hear some weird ones? Here we go. There is this one here. This one is sinistrophobia. It's fear of the left side. You're afraid of the left side. And dextrophobia is the fear of the right side. So if you're fear of both, look out. Europhobia. These are people who are afraid of good news. Okay? There's phobia, people who are afraid of phobias. Okay? I'm not making it up. There is papophobia, which are people who are afraid of the Pope. Okay? Here comes some of that Catholic guilt, right? Here we go. You're afraid of the Pope. Nomophobia. This is a big one now. Anybody know what that is? You're afraid of being without your cell phone. Okay, nomophobia. So we've come to that point. What about this one? Omphalophobia is a fear of navels. Okay. Ah, belly button. Okay. I wish I had this one. Chrometrophobia, fear of money. Fear of money. And then there's the top two weirdest ones are aurophobia, which is fear of finding gold. And then the last one is venustrophobia, which is fear of beautiful women. I don't know. So anybody have any of these? Okay. I don't know. I forgot this one. You got to let me try to give you this one. Quipedaliophobia. Fear of long words. Okay, so there we go. All right. So, but what I'm saying is we have a lot of fears, don't we? There's a lot of things that we naturally are afraid of. And yet, We are good at pretending that we don't have fears, aren't we? Like, for instance, we cannot get ourselves to a place where fear traps us. But yet we often end up in them, and we try to pretend to do well. Like, for instance, we'll say, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I couldn't be any better. Or if I was so good, I'd be twins. Hey, everybody heard that one? Here's some of these. How are you? Somewhere between better and best. Or this one. Stop it, you, because, you know, I just can't get any better. And much better now that you're with me. I guess you don't have that fear of beautiful women when you say that one. And then here we go. How are you? Armed and ready. What's that? Is that you're going in to rob something? Who knows? This one I find really odd. How are you? Like a pit bull in a butcher shop. Right? Yeah, I don't get it either. All right. I'm as fine as a maiden's flaxen hair. That goes back to our last series, right? Song of Solomon. How are you doing? Overworked and underpaid. And how you doing? I don't know. You tell me. How am I looking right now? That's pretty cocky. What's this? There's this one really, really weird. I'm doing well unless the weather has different plans in store. We come up with all these little weird things. Better than I deserve, right? Anybody heard that one? What? Yeah, Brian Killer, that's him. And I actually believe Brian is that way. So, and he is today because they have a new grandbaby, so I know they are. But we always come up with these little kind of little things to kind of push that. And usually what we're doing is those tend to be masks that we put on. Like, when we ask somebody, how you doing, often we really don't care, do we? How many times do you, like, I can prove it to you. Today, when people say, how you doing, say, you know, I'm not good. I have these corns on my feet. And watch people run, okay? Because we don't really care about those things often. And you can see people's body language, like, they start to go and go this way. But we put that here because we have these fears. So I want to give you three fears that I believe that we are afraid of being transparent with each other. And they're simply this, or real roadblocks, fear roadblocks. The number one, I think, is the fear of being hurt. We don't like being hurt. Does anybody like being hurt? No, we don't like it. And to be honest, we are all sitting in this room. We are all damaged, aren't we? We are all damaged. Like, for instance, there's some people who may be in your friendship group or they may be in your family that their spiritual gift is to hurt you. Anybody know those? They are so skilled with hurting people that no matter what they say, no matter what they do, they bring hurt. Anybody with me? Anybody know those people? Anybody have them in your families? Anybody want some from ours, right? Anybody want that they just, like, no matter what happens, they may even be in your churches, right? I mean, I remember early on in ministry, there was certain people in my life that if you said, hey, I think red, they would go into a dissertation about why red is the color of Satan, right? You got me? And you would just have arguments about all kinds of things, and they just, no matter what you wore or what you did or what you said, that people would go ahead and they would try to hurt you. Anybody with me here? Am I the only one who's experienced this? And it often leaves you with, like, what is wrong with that person? And it leaves you with this attitude when you have these hurt feelings. A lot of times people get trapped in hurt and trapped in that fear. And so what happens is when we get trapped in those fears and trapped in that hurt, we end up telling people, when they say, how are you doing? You say, I'm fine. I'm fine. And really what we're saying there is, I'm fine. I'm not going to let you too close, and I'm not going to get hurt again. Has anybody ever tried to put up walls not to be hurt again? Okay? Many of us have done that. I've done that myself in life. Look at what it says here in Psalm 32, verses 3 through 5. It says, this is someone who obviously has been hurt. When I kept it all inside, my bones turned to powder. My words became like day-long groans. The pressure never let up. And I love this. All the juices of my life dried up. Now, that may be a verse, that may be somebody's life verse here. If it is, we need to get that changed right away. But there's sometimes that because of what we're going through, the hurt, the pain, the stuff that we keep there, that when somebody says, how you doing? We go, oh, I'm fine. It's great. It's wonderful. And you move on so that you don't have to deal with this stuff, that your bones are powder. And the pressure just keeps on pounding on you and you feel like you're dried up in life. It continues and says, but then I let it all out. Anybody been the recipient of someone who is lets everything out in your way? Lets it all out? And what does it say? And I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly. The pressure was gone. You know, the lie that the enemy tells us is to keep it all in and to put the mask on. Because nobody cares. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear about your hurt. They're dealing with their own stuff. Keep it in there. And when you keep it in there, deal with it. Just suck it up and deal with it. And what it does, it tears us up from the inside. Time after time after time. Until we reach that point and we let it out. And then we get free. We got to get rid of that hurt and not be trapped. The next is the fear of being rejected. The fear of being rejected. You know, rejection stings, doesn't it? Now, I've been amazed now how like the younger people have to ask people out on dates. Like, just ask them out or whatever they call it now. I have no clue. But like when they ask somebody out, how many of you remember when you wanted to ask somebody out, you had to actually walk up to them and say words to them? Anybody? Like, do you want to go out sometime? How many remember that? How many of some of the skills that you came up with, some of those sorry lines? You know, like how many did some real bad lines over the years? Okay. Now, how many of you got rejected? Like, I kind of like these promposal things in a way so I can see some people get rejected, you know, so they can feel the pain, right? So that you can feel the pain that we once endured, of the nervousness of going up to the door of the house and that kind of stuff, right? There is, how many of you ever got rejected? Yeah. How many did you feel like it was the end of life? How many of you are still rejected maybe, okay? Well, we'll work with that. Maybe we'll do a dating series or something. I don't know. But there was that was there. Now you can send a text message or slide into the DMs, right? And now you go and say, hey, when are we going out? Oh, we're not. Okay, wrong person, right? You can do those things. But there's something about rejection. Like, I've known people, because they've been hurt by rejection, they haven't applied for jobs, they haven't used God's giftedness, they haven't tried out for events and teams and talents. They haven't applied themselves to certain classes. They haven't connected in the church. They haven't taken Bible studies because their fear of being rejected. And the fear of rejection is one of the most paralyzing fears that there ever is. And so what we do when we have that fear of rejection, we do whatever we can do to be accepted. Let me say that again. When we have a fear of rejection, we go ahead and we do whatever it takes to be accepted. For instance, all you have to do is look at social media. Like, for instance, nobody put on, hey, messed up at work today, cost the company $1 billion, and have people like it, right? We don't put things, we don't say, hey, guess what? Melissa and I are getting into a fight today. Kids, grab your cameras, get Snapchat ready. It's going to be a humdinger. I want it all out there for everybody, right? We don't do that, do we? On social media, our lives are all like, yeah, everything's wonderful, isn't it? We point this little box. Social media is the box or the mask that we have for everybody now to say, look, hey, like this. And so you see all these kind of things. It's like the bumper stickers. We never have a bumper sticker that says, my kid is the dumbest person at such and so elementary school. Never. Do we? The funniest one I've seen is, my kid beat up your honor student, you know. That's getting closer, but still they win. We don't have, my kid's the one that got beat up by your kid. We don't put those things out there because it doesn't make us look good and wonderful. It doesn't help with the mask, and it doesn't help with rejection. You know, they've done some polls, and what they showed is that 89% of people's social media likes, 89% of the people they asked, they said that their social media likes determine their happiness. Yeah. And then 40% of them said that happiness only stays if people continue to like it. 70% said they only like it because they feel that it'll make somebody feel good. So what that's telling you is 3/4 of the people who like your stuff don't like it. They just feel bad for you, right? They don't care about your puppies. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about you. They don't care about anything. Just like, okay, I'll give them a thumbs up because there's not a thumbs down, right? That's what they're doing. And they don't want to hurt your feelings in this world today. If they want to hurt your feelings, they'll write that out in a couple of characters, okay? So, you know, the Bible talked about this as well. And you can see it here in John chapter 12. I think we have it up here, don't we? John chapter 12. We have it there? Nope. I guess not. Okay. John chapter 12. Basically, it says that they were people. Nope, not there. Oh, well. It was talking about how people were lovers of and wanted to have the love of other people, the praise of other people, but not the praise of God. And so we live in a time today that we would much rather have Billy Joe Jim Bob and Janie Sue down the road give us the thumbs up than we would our lives with God giving a thumbs up to it. And that's where we are. But you see, David understood it. David understood it in Psalm 139 when he said, God, I thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Look at the person next to you and say, you're wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know that. You see, David got it. In other words, what they understood is, I don't need likes from people. I don't need to feel good about what other people think about me. And that's hard. Okay? But what I really need is to recognize that the Creator made me pretty awesome, no matter what somebody else thinks. So that's the second one. The last one is this, the fear of being exposed. The fear of being exposed. We are all weak. And we have these private areas of our lives that we don't want anyone to know. Like, for instance, can you imagine if I said, hey, guys, I want to let you know, God and I were really talking today, and the angel Gabriel, you know, the messenger one, went ahead and brought me a videotape of all your private things this week. So let's see them on the screen. Here we go. Anybody excited about that? No, none of us are. There are things in our lives that we know about ourselves that we don't like. There are things about we know about ourselves that if it got out there on the news or it got out there on the TV or even on the internet, we would crumble and our whole identities would go by the wayside. And we say to ourselves, if they really knew who I am, and then Satan adds this part, then they would leave you. And they would hate you. And so what we end up doing, we work harder on covering that stuff up in our lives than getting better. And that time and effort to keep stuff pressed down and hidden is a lot more labor-intensive than just like the psalmist did, just said, I had to get rid of it. And so we live in that area time and time again. Because here's the thing. We need to get free from fear. We need to get free from fear. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you something that's really awesome today. Are you ready? You are all messed up. Look at the other person that you didn't talk to, and say, you are real messed up. Then look at the other person next to you and say, so are you, sucker. All right? So guess what? Welcome to a bunch of messed up people. And there is freedom in recognizing that you're messed up, because there were things in church, and there still are things today in churches, that tell you got to be perfect. There are things that say you got to act and you got to say and you got to do and you got to be. And yes, God is working on us in a process. But the simple fact is we can't be bound by something we're exposed, because as I read the scripture, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. All right? So we need Him. We need Him to get us through this. A lot of times we think we are the only person that messed up. And the reason why is because everybody, every single one of us is putting on masks, acting like our world is peachy dandy. We're seeing the social media. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And so we have this picture of their lives. But meanwhile, behind that screen is a mess. That people may have financial issues. They may have relationship issues. They may have interpersonal issues. They may have mental suffering. They may have a lot of different things. And physical suffering, and we may not even know what it is because the picture looks good. And so when we're suffering, we think we're the only one and we're all alone. But that's not what Christ intended. In 2 Corinthians, here's what it says. It says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Oh, if the church would embrace that one verse, it would change the world. If every Christian said, I'm not going to wear this mask that the world wants me to wear anymore. I'm not going to play any more games. I'm going to tell you, I am a messed up follower of Christ, and he loves me. And he's working on this mess. And we don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. We don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see. What do they want to see? The change that God is making in our messed up lives. So when you see somebody this week and they say, oh, I thought you were a Christian, say, I am a real messed up one. Isn't it awesome? As in, it's because sometimes people say, oh, I've grown up with 24, almost 25 years of people saying, but you're a preacher. And I said, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Because I'm who God called me to be in the body, but I'm a messed up person that is saved by the grace of God. And that should be the biggest testimony rather than what I do as a career. It should be whose I am. And as I read it, we are all ministers of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you, this is real messed up. And if you get in here, it's real messed up. And I'm not joking. That's serious. All right? 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with each other. You see, true relationship occurs when we sit down and we say, you know what? I'm messed up. You're messed up. But we have Jesus, and that's going to help us through this. And we have each other. And so we need help. So how do we get there? We need to do what Jesus did, and we need to be transparent. We need to be transparent. It's okay to ask for help. That means you're human. We need to say, I'm okay. I'm not okay. We don't need to stop saying, I'm not okay. We need to say, no, I'm struggling. I'm struggling right now. And so what I want to do is share four, in our time together, four decisions that help make you become more transparent that you can start doing right now. And I want to show you also how the church can play a role in that. All right, you ready? Everybody ready? Okay, here we go. Number one, establish a posse. Yes, I said posse. All right? Establish a posse. What is a posse? It's people around you who you trust, are close to, and you're going to need people around you in life. People who are going to keep you from throwing in the towel. If you are ready to throw in the towel, you don't have a posse. You don't have people that can come to you, get in your face, and tell you you're messing up. You don't have people that can come to you and surround you with love and say, hey, we're going to encourage you. If you don't have that, guess what? You need to establish one today. You don't have enough people in your life if you're ready to throw in the towel. You need people who are trustworthy, caring, Bible-believing. And when I look back, I have like 5 to 10 seasons of my life where I was ready to throw in the towel on everything in my life. And there's those seasons, they come up really brightly, and they come up really big, and they take control of my life and my thoughts. And in each of those seasons, I've had some of the same people who helped me through it. And I will tell you, when I had seasons when those coping mechanisms didn't happen, I went and searched for somebody else who could help me get through that season. You need support. You need them. I know that right now I have a couple people I can pick up the phone that we may not talk all the time. We may not spend every day together. But if I need them and I call them, I can tell you about one time when we kind of talked about it a little bit last week, that one of my best friends in the world died very suddenly. And it jolted me to my core. Jolted me to the core. And yeah, I know about the resurrection, and I know about heaven, and I know about his belief. But guess what? I was hurt and I was broken, and all those whys I talked about last week were there. And I needed to something. I didn't know what I needed. And I remember calling and talking to one of my friends, and he said, what are you doing tonight? And I said, I have no clue. He said, I'm going to come down. And he came down, and he and I just rode around. We went to Turkey Point, a place that we hung out as kids. We walked, we talked, and we were just talking about the importance of friendship and being together. Now, it didn't make all the pain go away, but for that moment, I knew I was not alone in my hurt. And you need those people in your posse. If you don't have it, find them. Find them in your life. Because that's why the Bible calls the church a building. A building. Because it's the best thing that the church could possibly be. It brings stability. A building brings protection and stability in the midst of it. And so that's why in Ephesians 2, it says this. Together we are this house. Everybody say together. Together we are this house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And what's the best ways? And I'm going to tell you, the best ways, I could stand up here and I could talk about small groups. I can say small groups, small groups, small groups. And I believe that. But I'm going to tell you, the best way to do it is to do life with other believers. I don't care whether you're bowling. I don't care whether you're picking your nose together. If you're doing it, and you don't even have to say, hey, how did Jesus pick his nose? You can keep Jesus out of it. You just need to spend time with people and do life together. Because you were not made to do this life alone. If you're going to do it alone, you're going to do it less than what Christ intended, and it's going to be lesser than what Christ intended for you. And so you need to do life together. Spend time with others. Number two, enact a growth plan. Start growing and maturing. You see, God puts you in different places with different people, and it helps you grow one way or the other. You're put with people who help you do things the right way. How many of you have been with people in your life who help you do things the right way? Like have taught you how to do things well and do it right. It could be from when you were younger, they taught you how to do a skill, or maybe it was a Sunday school teacher, maybe it was a mother, somebody else like that. How many of you have been around crazy people? All right? You grow from crazy people, as some people are. You grow from crazy people, don't you? Because you know not how to be crazy, am I right? And so you need to have that knowledge in life. Some of you who didn't raise your hand, you're the crazy one, I hate to tell you, okay? So, but it's not bad, but you learn. God put you in places and areas where you can learn and grow. And the best way to grow is to round yourself and spend time with people who have what you want. So, for instance, if you want a better marriage, spend time with people who have, I'm not just saying who have been married for 400 years. I'm talking about people who have wrestled. People who maybe one time in their life, they almost split up. But they worked through it with God's help and with other things. And they fought the fights. If you feel like you're just coming apart at this parenting thing, spend time with some people. Say, you know, let's just spend some time together. And so I want to know what the good, the bad, and the ugly is of parenting. And I'll tell you, some of the people you think are the best parents will say, my gosh, I have no clue what I'm doing. But here's what I've learned. And they can share that with you. Or maybe you want to spend time with somebody who's got better finances with you. So you go ahead and you say, let's have coffee. You'll let them buy because you're a mess, right? But you go ahead and just spend time with them to learn from them. If you want what somebody else has, spend time with them and learn. And learn from them. John Maxwell did that. He would go ahead and spend with people to pick their brains. He even offered them $100 to go ahead and spend time with them and glean from them and get what he needed in his mind. You see, we need to go ahead and spend time with people. That's why the church is one of my favorite illustrations, a body. A body. Because a body is a living organism that you are to be part of. Ephesians 4:16 says this. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And that term fit together is like hinges coming together with a pin locked in. Fit together perfectly. Fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, look what it does. When each part does its own special work, it helps other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And see, here's the danger of the mask of fear. Because we have the mask of fear, we never get to do what God's gift for us is. And then we never get to grow. And if we aren't growing, we're not causing others to grow. And the church is never going to be healthy. Never going to be healthy and never full of love. Because we're not where Christ called us to be. Everybody good? Two more. Here we go. We need to enlist an army. Now, there are days where you just need a little pat on the back and attaboy. You might need that. Or you might need somebody to go with you. But there are some times that you need people to fight for you. There are days where you're too weak and you can't and you need them to fight for you. There are days where you need people to come alongside you. Sometimes you may need to just spill it out to everybody so they come to you and they say, nope, you and I are spending time doing this. I am taking off. We're going to do this together. I'm going to make sure you need to know. And you surround people with protection. You may have been somebody who had leaders or other people who have let you down. All you have to do is look around in our world, in our news, about churches, about politics, about schools, about everything. You find out that people in leadership roles have let people down. And I'm going to tell you now, I am going to let you down because I am human. But the fact of this is, when we are grouped together and we enlist an army together, we have people who are going to be arm in arm with us and fight whatever battle is ahead. I remember when Melissa and I were in another country this past summer and Rachel had a stroke at 15. And that is the scariest thing that I could ever imagine. And to see that all I had to do was make some phone calls and an army came out. An army of prayer that wasn't at the hospital with her. An army of people that all I had to do is just put it out there and they went to the hospital. People that I may not have even been able to see for a while and that Rachel may have seen. And who is this in my room? I don't know. But the army is there because why? They love me and they're there with me. And they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. You need people in your life who cheer for you, but you also need people in your life who fight for you. And that's why the scripture says the church is a flock. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 12. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. In other words, don't be afraid. Because when the flock is together, they're not easily attacked. The one who is vulnerable is the one who wanders off. And when you look around you, and when you look in your seats, and you look in your groups, and you think about the times you've been in ministry, there are people who have been in areas of this church or other churches or areas of life with you that are no longer around. And you know that if you really ask yourself, they are wandering sheep trying to find something. And God may say to you, you need to go get them and surround them with love. Right? The best way to do that is to serve with others, to intentionally serve others and reconnect. So you have a posse, you have a growth plan, you have an army, and this one I'm going to tell you is probably the hardest one as we wrap this up today and our worship team comes forward. We need to embrace being loved. I'm going to say that again, embrace being loved. Because here's the simple fact, every single one of us in this room has some sort of regret. Every single person who is breathing here has some sort of regret. That you might now may be in a bad season, a really bad season of your life. And you're feeling really bad about yourself. And you're starting to have all kinds of conversations in your head about this isn't worth it. About I don't know why nobody cares about me. I don't know why anybody would care about me. Or I failed at this. Every time we feel like we get a glimpse of hope, it falls apart. Every time I think I'm getting rescued financially, I make some stupid mistake and I get back into it. I'm so dumb. Every time I go ahead and I try to do something to make up for what I've broken down in the relationship, I break it. Every time I try, and you keep going through these conversations time and time again. And the enemy wants to tell you this. Hey, guess what? If you let someone know that, they're going to shun you, and ultimately, they're not going to love you. Oh, they say they love you, but if you let them know that you are here, they're not going to love you. You see, we're all afraid, and that's why we all put masks on. We all have issues and concerns, and we put those on. But I was thinking back today, from the very beginning of the founding of this church on a lawnmower, as I was looking at the fact that I got to cut my grass soon. And I was sitting there thinking about that. That's where God gave me the name of this church. And he said, Jack, I want this to be a safe place for people to come and connect to me. In other words, I believe what God wanted to say is, I don't care about the masks. I don't care what you've done because I already know. And Jack, guess what? The people there should not care either. Because every single one of us have hurt and regret. And so, if you have regrets, Haven should be a place where you can say, this is what I regret in life. I don't care what you did. But I want to change and I want to grow in the Lord. I want to get closer because what the church should be is a family. Church should be a family. And you know, as much as you can't stand that uncle or aunt, you can't get rid of them. Oh, you may have tried. But you don't give up on family. One of the biggest hurts over my history of church has been when people don't find that where the church doesn't do what people want specifically. And guess what? There is no way you can ever please anybody. You can't please two people. And you'll never be able to please 200 or whatever. But the nature of Haven Community Church has never been to please you or me. It's been that one day when I get to heaven that he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And that should be the heart of all of us. The heart of all of us is when we see someone that we should love them. I don't care what they've done. I don't care where they've been because guess what? In God's eyes, we've all fallen short of his glory. But we're family, right? Look at this motley looking family you got here. And so when Satan creeps in and tries to get a stronghold and we believe things about different people or we get in these things in our minds because we don't share and we don't hear and we don't listen and ultimately we don't love with the love that Christ had for us, we are giving Satan a stronghold in the body of Christ and we will never grow and be healthy and we will never be full of love. Isn't that what the verse said? And so it's about not what others do. It's about what Ephesians chapter 2 says. You are a member of this family. And you belong to God's household with every Christian. We as a church universal have been horrific over our history with telling people who belong and who don't. We've told people who belong and don't belong off of status, off of race, off of sex, off of gender, off of mindset. And as I recognized that Jesus said, and his promise was this, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Oh yeah, I got opinions. If you want them, I got them. But my opinion compared to God's word fails in comparison. Because my command is this, love one another as I have loved you. So what's our takeaway from this today? It's simply this. You say, Jack, okay, I got it, but if I do that, if I put this mask off, they're not going to love me. I can be me when I am connected to those who believe in me. This church is a success because you believed in the vision that God gave to me. It remains only because you still believe in that collectively here today. When people say, hey, your church, I say, no, this is your church. This is his church. And we worship together. So I want you to stand now as we go to the Lord right now. And there's a lot of us here who need to lift that mask and say, you know what, God? I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty and I need somebody to come alongside me. I need you to come to me today. Let's just pray. Lord God, here we are today, broken as always. We are messed up. We've attributed to that today. We're all messed up. But God, I thank you that I'm messed up. I thank you that some of the stuff, if I begin to share what goes through this mind and goes through this life, that people would be shocked. And I thank you that you love me so much that you paid that price upon the cross. That when you were sitting there and you said, I'm thirsty, you taught me that I don't have to put on a mask. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is there, stripped, naked, bleeding, vulnerable, and he says in his moment of need, I'm thirsty, I need something, and needs help, then Jesus, you taught us we can do the same thing. And so Christ, as we move closer and closer to the day that we celebrate your resurrection, oh God, please, please, please help us to learn that resurrection power under these famous last words that you gave to us. That when we're in need, we thirst, and you're there. Help us to be transparent in this world. And ultimately, God, let us recognize that if we're sitting here and we've got all the answers, we've got all the answers that you're not real, we've got all the answers that this is just a waste of time, God, I ask that you jolt those lies. Shake them and show them that you are ever present. Make yourself more real to them. For those of us who may have been clouded by the mask that we have, God, I ask that you rip the mask off of us and help us just heal so we can get it all out, and immediately that pressure goes, as the scripture says. So God, this time is yours, and I praise you for who you are, and I just ask that you forgive me where I failed you. But I ask that this be a place where we love and we experience being loved with the love of Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
My righteousness, oh God, how I need.
my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need.
Experience with God. And often we put on our worship masks and we stay here and we keep ourselves all together. When sometimes in worship we just need to cry. Sometimes in worship we just need to scream. Sometimes we just want to dance around. Sometimes in worship we just need to be still. But we got to pull the mask off if you want to drink. You can't drink anything. I could give you a gallon. You can't drink one drop if you keep your mouth shut. So we got to sometimes just open up our worship mouth and drink in what God has. All right, that's all I got for today. But next week, we're going to talk about this one. It is finished. It is finished. So if you need to talk to somebody, connect with somebody, go ahead. Before you leave here, see somebody you don't know. Say, what's up? Okay, family.
The kingdom, I stopped at the gate, thinking I don't deserve to pass through.